الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر، والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع، إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل، إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا، فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم ويدا. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, the greatest man to have graced this temporary world, the greatest man to have ever walked on the face of this earth, the man whose beauty even the sun shied away from. He is none other than our beloved Prophet, the seal of prophethood, the greatest of all Anbiya alayhimu salam, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Insha'Allah, today we begin with the final few verses to culminate the exegesis and the tafsir of Surah At-Tariq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after taking an oath upon the heavens, which we had discussed in the last dars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then follows this oath upon the heaven with an oath upon the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal ardi dhati sad'a, and by the earth that cracks open. And by the earth that cracks open. And as a reminder, we say that, and we have covered this previously, that it is not permissible for anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take an oath upon anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only within the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For mankind and for all creation, we are only allowed to take an oath upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon the earth and is described as that which cracks open. So then again, the ulama, they go into discussions with regards to its meaning. So some ulama have said that when the crops grow, the earth cracks open at some point, after which the crops come out of the ground. Others have also said that it's possible that it's referring to the cracking when the water bursts as a spring from the depths of the earth. Some ulama have mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, all those who are buried in the earth, they will come out of the earth. So before they come out of the earth will crack open, and then the people will be resurrected, they will be given life again, and they will come out of the earth. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah have mentioned that in the world, what happens is the rain falls from the skies and it irrigates the land. And this leads to, and this causes the earth to crack open and for living things to come out of the earth. So Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah and also Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, both of them mention that what will happen on the day of Qiyamah is that a rain will fall, and the nature of this rain is unknown, and this will cause the dead to then become alive, and then the earth will crack open, and they will, and so to say, we will then come out of the earth. In Tafsir of Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi rahimullah says, this very beautiful point, beautiful as well as scary, but a point which contains deep insight into the Quran. Allama Alusi rahimahullah says that, look, last week we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath upon the heavens. Today we've mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken oath upon two things. The general theme of the chapter is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing that we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, and Qiyamah will happen, the accounting will happen. We will be stood in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned previously that on this day, our mouths who do all the talking will be shut, will be sealed. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. And our body parts will give testimony. Along with this, many other things will give testimony as well, including the earth will give testimony and the sky will also give testimony. So Allama Alusi rahimullah says that the theme of the surah is establishing the final day. So along with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then indicates through this oath upon the earth and through his oath upon the skies that on the day of Qiyamah they will also bear witness to your deeds and to your misdeeds. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to ask for forgiveness and for our record to be clean. What secrets? Yawma tubla sarair, you mentioned that the secrets will be unfurled, the secrets will be opened. What secrets does the earth have? What has the earth witnessed? Not just from ourselves, but from everyone. We pray that on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that the earth will also become silent upon our sins, and the earth will testify to our good deeds as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And this is not something that I've read in the kitabs, but just something I had thought of during my studies, is that if there is a place, we all have a history, if there is ever a place that you think, you know what, in this place I've committed a lot of sins, we should go to that place, we should make istighfar first of all, and we should do some good amal. So with that hope that on the day of Qiyamah, this very earth that was going to testify against me, inshallah, it'll testify for me. And say, Ya Allah, this person sinned upon me, but he came to me, he asked your forgiveness, and he also prayed some Qur'an, and he did some dhikr, and he prayed some durood sharif as well. So that way, inshallah, we'll cover our backs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Another very deep, insightful opinion on the matter is that what happens is in the world, the rains fall from the sky. And when the rains fall from the sky, there's certain groups of people that benefit from this rain. So for example, the farmers, they tend to take benefit from this rain. They make sure that in time for the rain, the farm is prepared, and then when the rain comes, it will, you know, irrigate their crops, and then they'll make money from it, and they'll obviously have a great hand in our own sustenance as well. So like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent that, just like Allah sent the rain from the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent the Quran from the heavens. And just like certain groups of people benefited from the rain, certain groups of people benefited from the Quran. And specifically, the ulama, they benefited from the Quran. And more generally, the Muslim ummah, they directly, indirectly benefit from the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who benefit from the Quran. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then follows this verse and describes the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. Verily, the Quran is a decisive saying. It's a decisive saying. In the Quran, there is no doubt. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, is that there's no doubt in the Quran, and especially pertaining those verses that we have, especially those that we have discussed, in these verses which establish the reality of the day of Qiyamah, there is absolutely no doubt in this. The ulama differentiate with regards to the reference here. Some have said that no, it's talking about only the theme that's covered in this surah. Others have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Quran generically. That no, the entire Quran here is being referred to. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. هَزَلَ يَحْزِلُ means to joke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this Quran is a decisive saying. It's a serious matter. It's not a matter to joke with. Now, there's one very important point that needs to be mentioned here. One very important point. And my respected teachers during our time of study also used to mention this. Specifically, as Abul Nushad Sahib, in our lessons of Aqidah, he used to say that Al-istihza'u bid-dini kufr. And he used to say that making a mockery of deen is a form of kufr and disbelief. And he also mentioned under this that many times what happens is we receive things. WhatsApp, we look at statuses, there's jokes, pranks, whether it's YouTube or Snapchat or Facebook or Insta, whatever it might be. And many times there are jokes on them videos and jokes on that whatever part of social media that are directly related to Islam. And the point is to make us laugh. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it's not a joke. So for example, there may be someone praying salah, and then someone comes and pushes him over while he's in ruku and everyone laughs. Or when I was younger, there used to be this joke, like a group of Arabs, and then he goes into ruku and then all the muqtadis run away and he's praying namaz on his own, or the imam runs away and they're all waiting. It's just things like that, just pranks. And the point is to make people laugh. But we are making people laugh at the expense of Islam. Now, when a young child sees that video of someone making a joke out of salah, when he comes to the masjid, he's going to think of that joke. He might think that, you know what, why did I push someone over whilst they're praying namaz? Is then salah going to become a matter of seriousness or a matter of joke? So like this, not just with salah, but with everything pertaining Islam, we should take extreme caution when it comes to joking and these type of jokes. Islam, our deen, our salah, our Nabi alayhi salam, the Prophet, everything related to Islam is not a joke. Yeah? The Quran says, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْرِ. It's not a joke. So many times what happens is people, they make jokes related to our deen or our Islam. And when someone says that, we shouldn't joke about that. What do they say? There's a new line now. It's not that deep, bro. It's not that deep. No, it is deep. Because Islam is deep, our religion is deep, our Quran is deep. So not everything should be expensed. Not everything should be make a joke. Sometimes people have this habit, they must, everything is just a joke. Sending this joke, sending that joke, namaz joke, everything joke, people laughing. So we have to be very, very careful with regards to these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to take Islam seriously. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a joke. And the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they started to, you know, they enjoyed it, they enjoyed this, bit of jest. And they said to Ya Rasulullah, I'm just paraphrasing here, said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you also joke as well? So Rasulullah said, yes, I joke, but when I joke, I tell the truth as well. So this is, the Prophet told how to joke as well. Sometimes we have a joke and a laugh, but we should try to our best to make sure that even in our jokes, whatever it is, it's the truth. I'll give you one quick example, I need to finish as well. One day, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they're walking. Hazrat Ali is walking in the middle, Hazrat Abu Bakr on one side, Hazrat Umar on one side. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar were very, very tall. Hazrat Umar was a giant of a man. He was an absolute beast. He was a wrestler. And in pre-Islamic days, it says that when Hazrat Umar used to stand in the crowd, he used to stand out of the crowd. He was an absolute beast. Hazrat Abu Bakr was also very tall, but he was slightly on the skinny side. Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu was also extremely strong, but he was slightly on the shorter side. So they were walking, so, you know, two tall and one short in the middle. So one of the Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar, they said to Hazrat Ali, oh Ali, you are like the noon in Lena. You are like the noon in Lena. Your short and then the lam and the alif are tall. So Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu was extremely intelligent as well. He said, okay, I'm like the noon in Lena. If you take me out, then what do you get left with? La. You are nothing. So without me, you two are nothing. So this was also the Sahaba used to joke, but there was truth in their jokes, so there was no lies. So we should try to, you know, it's okay to have, you know, some light-hearted comments. At the same time, we should be careful not to hurt people's feelings. Sometimes we say it's a joke, or it's not that deep, it's just a joke. But did that person take it as a joke? Did that person enjoy it, or did he get hurt? That's another thing that we should think about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from hurting people. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And now to conclude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. Verily, their plot, yani the disbelievers, their plot to renegade against Islam, to bring Islam down, to extinguish its light that is spreading across the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. And I also plot, and the plot of Allah is strong and firm and cannot be unfurled, whereas the plot of the disbelievers is weak. Imam Qurtubi rahimullah says that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean with regards to his plan? Imam Qurtubi rahimullah says that it means أي أجازيهم جزاء كيدهم, that I will recompensate, I will punish them as a result of their plot. And so based on that, Allama Alusi rahimahullah, under this verse, elucidates towards two sentiments. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan will manifest in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this dunya, Allah will give them plenty. We see many enemies of Islam, many disbelievers, they have loads of money, they have riches, they have everything, they have power, influence, the positions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the time comes, whether it's in the dunya, whether it's in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get them bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. As for those people who disbelieve in our verses, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We will gradually destroy them from such a place that they didn't even know. ومعناه أنه يفتح لهم أبواب الرزق و أبواب الرزق ووجوه المعاش في الدنيا حتى يغتروا بما هم فيه ويعتقدوا أنهم على شيء. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of sustenance for them and they will live their lives to such a point that they will think that, yeah, I'm onto something here. I don't need Islam. Look at me. I've got money. I've got people. I've got influence. And then after that, what will happen is when the time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get them and will get them. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِهُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. That they forget us and we will give them everything. And then what will happen is when our punishment comes, it will come suddenly and we will leave them in despair. Many people, we see them, they fall in this dunya. Typical, you get these famous celebrities that they go down. After a while, all their dirty secrets come out. I don't need to mention the names in the, you know, pure place of the masjid. But there are famous names that they go down in this dunya. But there are many, many that fall through the net. But the reality is that on the day of Qiyamah, there is no falling through the net. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The second sentiment that Allama Alusi rahimahullah mentions, that with regards to the disbelievers' plot to bring Islam down, they will do what they do, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow Islam to spread in such a way that they will think that, oh my God, what's happened here? And a very good example of that is that in the past 20, 30 years, we've seen this, that the media has tried to portray Islam in a certain way, has, you know, built a narrative that Islam is bad, Islam is terrorism, Islam is extreme, all of these things. Yet, and I can't quote this for certainty, but I've heard that statistics say that Islam is actually the fastest growing religion, and in the past 20, 30 years, it's grown faster than any other religion. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. Generally, what tends to happen is a lot of people don't know about Islam. Then suddenly, they're seeing all this in the media, so it starts making them think that, what is this religion? So they look into it, they love it, they become Muslim, and then it spreads like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, doesn't need to, you know, send Jibreel Islam and bring people down and all of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ فَمَهِلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. So leave the disbelievers alone at the moment. Give them respite for a while. Some scholars have said that this is actually before the commandment for war. Obviously, this is regards to in the time of Rasulullah in the Islamic, when there is an Islamic Islamic establishment and an Islamic country. And that's, those are, but some scholars have said that these verses were prior to the commandments that came. And the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people time, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the time for Allah's decision comes and Allah takes these people, then there's no coming back. We pray like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, نُمَتِّعْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. We will let them enjoy a little. ثُمَّ نَثُّرُّهُمْ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيلٍ. Then we will drag them إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيلٍ, to a heavy punishment. We have many examples like this. The time of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came and they were destroyed. Likewise, there's many ahadith as well, but time is up now. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should fear this istidraj. We should fear this, that if we're in a good position, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing it? We should fear this and we should be very careful. We should always make istighfar. We should keep turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, for help in every matter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. There was some very beautiful hadith Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah has brought, but time is up now to mention it with regards to the Quran, the beauty of the Quran. Now Ramadan is coming very, very soon. We are on the Ramadan is on our doorstep now. We should, firstly, I talk to myself, we should make an effort to prepare for Ramadan, to increase our recitation of the Quran, to try and fast as much as we can before Ramadan as well. Only a few days left now. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the true understanding of the Holy Quran. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the true love for the Holy Quran. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from the men of the Quran. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
makes the Qur'an an intercessor for us
in the grave and on the day of Qiyamah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us and give us the tawfiq to take full advantage of the beautiful blessings and the many blessings of the month of Ramadan. وآخر الدعاء آمين يا رب العالمين وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.